Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you on this Friday, May 21st, as we welcome a guest to the podcast. Today, Ms. Sharon Howard will be reading the scripture for us. Sharon is our minister to children and family ministries, and she is no stranger to many of us, and we look forward to hearing her read God's word, and then we'll have a time where we chat at the end of the podcast.
Thank you, Mary, for this opportunity to read scripture. Today, we will be reading from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 53. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does the things deserving punishment will be beaten with a few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family, divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And now we turn to Psalms chapter 7. Lord, my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me, or they will tear me apart like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to rescue me. Lord, my God, if I have done this and there is guilt on my hands, if I have repaid my ally with evil or without cause have robbed my foe, then let my enemy pursue and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the ground and make me sleep in the dust. Arise, Lord, in your anger. Rise up against the rage of my enemies. Awake, my God. Decree justice. Let the assembled people gathered around you while you sit enthroned over them on high. Let the Lord judge the peoples. Vindicate me, Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity, O Most High. Bring to the end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. you, the righteous God, who probes minds and hearts. My shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, a God who displays his wrath every day. If he does not relent, he will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow. He has prepared his deadly weapons. He makes ready his flaming arrows. Whoever is pregnant with evil conceives trouble and gives birth to disillusionment. Whoever digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit they have made. The trouble they cause recoils on them. Their violence comes down on their own heads. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. And now we read from Job chapter 6. Then Job replied, "If only my anguish could be weighed and all my misery be placed on the scales, it would surely outweigh the sand of the seas. No wonder my words have been impetuous. The arrows of the Almighty are in me. My spirit drinks in their poison. God's terrors are marshaled against me. Does a wild donkey bray when it has grass, or an ox bellow when it has fodder? Is tasteless food eaten without salt, or is there flavor in the sap of the mallow? I refuse to touch it. Such food makes me ill. Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant what I hope for, that God would be willing to crush me, to let loose his hand and cut off my life. Then I would still have this consolation, my joy in unrelenting pain, that I had not denied the words of the Holy One. What strength do I have that I should still hope? What prospects that I should be patient? Do I have the strength of stone? Is my flesh bronze? Do I have any power to help myself now that success has been driven from me? Anyone who withholds kindness from a friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty. But my brothers are as undependable as intermittent streams, as the streams that overflow when darkened by thawing ice and swollen with melting snow, but that stop flowing in the dry season and in the heat vanish from their channels. Caravans turn aside from their routes. They go off into the wasteland and perish. The caravans of Timna look for water. The traveling merchants of Sheba look in hope. They are distressed because they had been confident. They arrive there only to be disappointed. Now you too have proved to be of no help. You see something dreadful and are afraid. Have I ever said, give something on my behalf? Pay a ransom for me from your wealth? Deliver me from the hand of the enemy? Rescue me from the clutches of the ruthless? Teach me and I will be quiet. Show me where I have been wrong. How painful are honest words. But what do your arguments prove? Do you mean to correct what I say and treat my desperate words as wind? You would even cast lots for the fatherless and barter away your friend. But now, be so kind as to look at me. Would I lie to your face? Relent. Do not be unjust. Reconsider, for my integrity is at stake. Is there any wickedness on my lips? Can my mouth not discern malice?"
Thank you so much, Sharon, for joining us on the podcast today. We really appreciate you reading for us and all that you do to minister at Mount Brook Baptist. I want to know a little bit more about you. Tell us about where you grew up and tell us about Larry a little bit.
Well, I consider Mountain Brook home. We moved here when I was 6.5 years old. My family started coming to Mountain Brook Baptist when I was 8 years old. So I kind of say that the church raised me. And I met Larry through a mutual friend. And as of Sunday, we will be married 23 years.
Well, happy anniversary to you guys. Tell us a little bit about Larry. What is he into?
Well, Larry has recently retired, and he likes to play golf. and he likes to fly fish, and he's hoping when his shoulder is fully rehabilitated that he will get to do more of those things.
Now, as most of you know, Miss Sharon is the minister to children and family ministries, and that means she spends a lot of time with children. And Mr. Larry comes along with a lot of the trips and a lot of the different outings with children, which we hope to resume a lot more of that this summer. But I will tell you that my kids love when Mr. Larry is on their bus. He's a lot of fun. So we hope that he'll be on the podcast sometime. Sharon, I want to ask you how you came to faith and how you've seen the Lord sustain you in faith over the years.
You know, I was very, very blessed. My parents raised me in church. From the time I was 6 weeks old, I was part of the cradle roll department at First Baptist Dallas. And then every time my parents moved, they found a church for us to be involved in. And I can honestly say that I don't ever remember a time that I knew that Jesus didn't love me. I knew that Jesus loved me and that I loved Jesus. However, there was a time that I realized that I needed forgiveness of my sin and that I needed a Savior. And in 1971, our church took city buses down to the Billy Graham Crusade at Legion Field. And the Lord had been speaking to my heart. And one day, Reverend Graham said, "If you came on a bus, they'll wait." And he said, "You know, now is the time." And I knew it was the time that I needed to ask Jesus to be my Savior. So I went down from all the way to Legion Field, and I kneeled on the ground there, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And so from there on, this church really has provided me the discipleship that was necessary. And through camp and different times, I felt the call to ministry when I was 16, when I was at Ridgecrest, when I was away with this group. And so every day, I have just learned more and more about him through my faith family.
What a beautiful testimony. Sharon, you've worked at Mountain Brook Baptist for over 34 years, or it'll be 34 years, I think, this June. How did you start working at Mountain Brook Baptist? And then tell us a little bit about what all you've done in these 34 years.
So when I was probably in elementary school, Joyce Johnson let me put the labels on the offering envelopes. And I even got paid to do that. And so that was really fun. But then when I was in college, I actually managed the summer rec program here. And we did summer rec from four-year-olds through sixth grade and just did Bible study and activities. And I interned here as part of my degree at Auburn University. And when I had finished at Auburn, I was at City Federal Savings and Loan going to the bank, and I ran into Hoyt Wilson. And Hoyt said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm looking for a job." He said, "Don't look anywhere else. Just come work for me." But I couldn't tell anybody, which was okay because my brother was getting married. I was flying to Texas. I was going to his wedding. And when I got back, Joyce Johnson, who had been here 15 years, had left to go to another church. And so I assumed her position. And I was the educational associate. And then from there, I moved to the director of outreach, and from there to the minister of children. And, you know, I can just see all kinds of ways that I can tell that God has worked, you know, in my life through here, whether it's from relationships that I've gotten to know, or, you know, every time I see a child accept Christ or a family that connects with somebody else, I'm just so very, very grateful for the opportunity to be here. And I'll tell you kind of a funny story. I hadn't been here very, very long that someone died, and I had not had any experience with death at all. And so when I went to tell Dr. Mobies that, you know, someone needed him, that the sister had died, I think he thought I was going to hyperventilate. And so we started, he's like, it's okay. And so, of course, he was very cool, calm, collected, and he handled it. But it was kind of a joke that, like, Sharon doesn't do that. But it wasn't too many months later that my mom was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And just through learning and watching, I was able to have the strength and really the wisdom to help my mom go through that, and just helped us grow as a family.
And I'll say that I've learned from you how to minister to families that are in crisis, because I feel like you do that so well. And we just thank the Lord for your ministry. How can we pray alongside you as a minister or with the children, different ways that we can be a support to you?
Well, of course, my biggest prayer is that every child come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But even in the past weekend, we had a bulletin insert for Vacation Bible School. So Vacation Bible School is coming up in July. And I'll put the prayer calendar on the website if people will pray alongside for the daily needs. Today, you know, it's pray for kids to have the courage to invite friends to come to Vacation Bible School. And I'm so excited about this summer. We are resuming of a mostly normal schedule for kids, and just the opportunity to connect them with Christ and connect them with each other, and to get families back involved in church, because I've missed them.
We sure do appreciate you being on the podcast and reading for us. We would love it if you would end our time together with prayer.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to study your word. And I thank you just for the reminder of the daily importance to spend time with you, and how when we do, that your spirit speaks to our heart and we can grow and do things more than we can even imagine. I pray for all of our families. I pray for our children. I pray that they will seek you as Lord and Savior, and that you will bless the many opportunities that we have to be together this summer, whether it's through worship, our Bible school, our camp, or just having fun together. We thank you so much for this church and just the ministries that they have for so many people. In your name we pray.